Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. On your wedding day, all eyes will be on you and your fiancé. Imagine your fiancé walking towards you looking incredible in a suit that's perfectly tailored, not some baggy overpriced rental. At Nick's Menswear, we've dressed over 20,000 wedding parties and over 60% of our business comes from referrals because we make this the easiest part of planning your wedding. For about the same price as a rental, we'll help you and your fiancé own a suit that's not only going to look great in your wedding photos, but can be worn again and again. Let us take care of the details so you can focus on the magic of your big day.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Collars here. We all know what's taking place Sunday night. Maybe the two best teams in football. Who knows? Two teams going for a 15-win season. Two teams 14-2. The winner gets the number one seed. The loser gets the fifth seed. The winner gets a break. The loser's playing on the road days later. So Matthew is here to enlighten us about a highly, highly, highly anticipated game. Hello, sir. Good to chat. As always, the Lions are leading the league. They average 33.8 points a game. So they're basically 34 points a game. It's pretty stunning. When they are slowed, what happens? What doesn't work where Detroit isn't scoring almost every drive?
I'll have to let you know when that happens. They have been truly one of the best offenses I think we've seen in the last 10 years. And for a team to be able to lose the defensive players that they had and overcome that the way that they have. And even when you look at that Buffalo game, we all thought, oh, it's over. Buffalo's up by a couple scores and Detroit just keeps going and going. And San Francisco gets ahead on them. And you think, okay, well, it's a meaningless game, whatever. And they just put the gas pedal down and continue to score and score. I don't know that there is any actual weakness that you can identify since Jameson Williams has emerged as one of their best players. Midway through the season, he was still looking like kind of a bust draft pick. Remember, they traded up with the Vikings in that deal, and Williams had produced very little for them. It was looking like one of their bad moves, their very rare bad moves in the draft. And then all of a sudden, he comes alive, and he's averaging 4.5 catches with 70-something yards per game since then. So he's become a factor. So you can't even say, oh, well, if you take St. Brown out of the game, that you can slow them down a little bit. David Montgomery goes down. That might actually be better for them since Gibbs is a better player that they won't put in the worst running back. Not that Montgomery is bad, but Gibbs is just significantly better. So they're strong there. Their offensive line is healthy. They've really got everything. One detail is that Jared Goff, always and forever, is not the most mobile quarterback. He's even been better inside the pocket this year. But under pressure, PFF still has him as the 22nd ranked quarterback as far as his grade goes. And you can get to him a little bit and you can throw him off a little bit. He doesn't make huge mistakes, but you can at least slow them down for a play or two if you can get after him. So that will be a major, major focus for Brian Flores, making sure that Jared Goff doesn't sit back there and pick him apart.
It's really a stunning contrast when you look at the health of the two defenses. You know, where the Vikings now will have Cashman. They did not have Cashman. They've got some other guys who are kind of on the edge of starters or reserves, or you're kind of up in the air on. But they're extraordinarily healthy defensively, and the Lions are still without player after player after player. So, two-part question. How much impact will Cashman have on this game compared to his absence? And where are the Lions missing their key players the most? Obviously, Hutchinson is the biggest name. But where are the – is it just him? Is the pass rush – what has stood out the most – with all those losses?
It is two places that really impact this game. Alain McNeil, their defensive tackle, was a guy that just gave fits to the interior of the Vikings every time he played against them. We know this, always and forever. If the other team has a great defensive tackle who can rush the passer, it's going to be a problem for the Vikings O-line, but now he's out, and he was their best guy at that. The other one is Carlton Davis, who I am convinced the Detroit Lions went out and signed to go against Justin Jefferson, because he was big, he's a great man coverage corner, key part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for years, and he played pretty well in that first matchup. Well, they are going to be without him, so now you're down to mostly backup cornerbacks there going against Jefferson, Addison, and on a defense that likes to play a lot of man coverage. Well, guess what? Justin Jefferson mm-hmm. is at his absolute best.
Right.
And to your question about Blake Cashman, there's no number I can give you or stat or analytic that really describes how important Blake Cashman is. This is a guy who makes all the changes at the line of scrimmage. He's also somebody that, and it's a subtle thing, but he's so good at getting into a gap, like getting downhill so quickly against the run and just redirecting a running back. You saw this last week several times where he doesn't even make the tackle, but he's in the spot. And then Josh Jacobs has to try to go somewhere else because he knows that Blake Cashman's going to tackle him. So he tries to go some other way, and then they collapse on him, and everyone else is able to rally. So having him as a run defender, I think he's one of the 10 or 12 best run defenders at his position in the league. So you talk about the leadership element, the communication element, and then also just as a player, the other thing he does too, because he does honestly everything really well and could have been a Pro Bowler. I think if they had wanted to make him that, it would have been very fair, is that he's really good at coverage over the middle of the field. We saw that against San Francisco, I thought was probably his best game early in the season, where they tried to work the middle of the field to George Kittle, to their running backs, to the guys going over the middle, and Blake Cashman was a monster on those plays. Well, there's a lot of that same stuff that Ben Johnson uses over the middle of the field, and Cashman is a huge element of it. I think if you're looking for a why will it be different this time, his presence is definitely one of the reasons you would use.
If you had, and there are many contenders, and we just talked about one of them, but if you had to pick out the Vikings' best defensive player this year, who is it?
I think it's between, oh gosh, I mean, it's really between all the guys they brought in, right?
Yeah, like, that's it.
I mean,
those three.
Cashman has a very unique value to him. He also had 4.5 sacks this year, which is, you know, a really good contribution as a blitzer. Van Ginkle, I think we've seen him develop as a pure edge rusher who could just beat tackles. And I don't think, I never actually thought of him that way coming in here. He was kind of like a dynamic move around type of player. But then we saw that from him last week, especially in a key down, just racing by a tackle. But it's hard not to pick Jonathan Greenard. I mean, I think Jonathan Greenard has a really good case for even being in the defensive MVP conversation. He's second in the entire league in quarterback pressures. And he's also been the game changer, the closer, that when you're late in a game and this guy's been rushing the passer all day, you know that he's going to be able to come through. And then the other thing about Greenard that people don't recognize is how unselfish he is. Last week, Cashman got a sack. I think it was Van Ginkle and Cashman both kind of combined for a sack, where Greenard lined up on the inside and took the guard about 7 yards out of the way so Cashman could have room to go in and get the quarterback hit. I mean, stuff like that, not everybody does. Dropping back in coverage, not everybody does. Greenard has been a total game changer. And as much as Danielle Hunter deserves all the flowers and they you know, could put him in the Ring of Honor, and I wouldn't argue for a second.
And by the way, Greenard, he's had a very good year for the Texans, right?
Absolutely. Greenard was a better fit. He was a little bit of a better fit, and that move right there, that decision, saved him $7 or $8 million and found a guy that I think Flores has really made the most of.
Let's take a pause, come back with Matthew again. The Major Garrett opens somehow fires out of nowhere. I'm now convinced that Major has a button, that he has control of the board. Major is going to join us in 15 minutes or so. We'll talk about the new speaker. Let's just try to get Matthew to pin down the impact on this game, how much of an advantage it is for either team to win this game, just to try to quantify that in some way. Mr. Purple Insider, check it out, purpleinsider.football. The mailbag, looking at Sam Darnold, previewing the Lions. Just great stuff all week on the most hyped regular season game in, a long, long time in Vikings history as two teams are playing great, great football. Two of the three or four teams you would think who can win the Super Bowl are matching up Sunday night. We're talking to Collar about that. So check out purpleinsider.football.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave, do we believe Matthew Collar knows the group singing this song?
No, I believe he does not.
I'm going to go yes. I'm going yes. Matthew Collar, who is singing this boffo hit from, what, 2 years ago maybe?
3 years ago. 3 years. Or 4 years ago now.
Oh, really? That long? Okay, who's singing this, Matthew?
I don't have any idea.
BTS.
Not a K-pop guy.
K-pop right there. BTS. Do we have the Larry David soundbite somewhere near? Because Colin and I were just texting about a very funny episode. It's just such a great one. This is a very important day for Larry David. This came from a very early episode. I think maybe a couple years ago. This is Larry having an interaction with a woman he knows at the health club. She's also pregnant. Larry's been lecturing her a little bit that maybe she shouldn't be working out this long in the pregnancy. And also, this takes place.
Happy New Year.
It's a little late, frankly, for the Happy New Year's, you know?
Why? Just happened a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that's too long. Statute of limitations is kind of run out on the New Year's. 3 days. Plenty.
3 days.
By the way, everything doesn't have to be happy. Why does everything have to be happy?
All right, we'll jump in right there. First of all, we all should agree. Everything doesn't have to be happy. I'm with you. I believe this is the cutoff day, caller. After today, like tomorrow, when you're out and about meeting the public, you call them the rabble. Dave and I call them the public. No one should be allowed to say a Happy New Year to you on January 4th. January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, that's it. That's the cutoff. Do you agree?
100% agree with Larry David. I can't say I totally agree with all of Larry's similar stances throughout the show, but although him about the guy who, you know, parks sideways and you know, that kind of thing where he confronts him in the ice cream shop, that I also agreed with
100%.
But I think that after that, even if you haven't seen somebody in a while, figure out something else to greet them with. You gotta move on.
Thank you. How do we try to quantify the impact of having the number one seed, the week break, you're 15-2, you're not playing every game until you're the Super Bowl at home versus, boom, who knows, maybe Saturday middle of the day, you're the fifth seed and you might be playing a pretty good Tampa Bay Bucks team. It is an enormous difference, right, between these two teams. I'm not saying the loser should just go to the corner and assume the fetal position, but there is just a stunning difference in what the winner and loser will face over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you tried to put like an analytic type of let's break this down from a mathematical perspective, so many teams that get this bye week in history end up going to the Super Bowl, and not very many teams that have to fight their way from the 5, 6, or 7 ever end up appearing there. And I think that when you get that week off, it's just like winning a playoff game and you don't do anything and the other team has to battle their butts off and then come to your place. But whatever that number would say, it's different even for the Minnesota Vikings because of US Bank Stadium. There are very few stadiums that have a serious impact on what offenses do, and US Bank is one of them because of the way Brian Flores plays. It requires offensive lines and quarterbacks to sort through all sorts of different looks and changes. and communicate extremely well, which is very hard to do when that place is at the same noise level as a rock concert or a jet engine going off or whatever TV broadcasts like to make that comparison when they show the decibel levels. But it's really been through the roof in the last few games. I think you saw it a little bit from Jordan Love trying to work some of that out early in the game and just struggling. And even if now Goff has been incredible at it, so if you're facing Goff in a couple weeks again, maybe that factor isn't so much. But the other part is, too, they have a veteran team. A lot of guys are playing more snaps than they ever had in their careers this year. Guys like Jonathan Greenard, guys like Andrew Van Ginkel, they would love to have a week off, get to 100%, come out at full speed when they face another team that's banged up. I think we saw it when the Vikings went to San Francisco in 2019. By the second quarter of that game, the Vikings looked like they were worn the heck out after playing the New Orleans Saints the week before, whereas the 49ers looked quite spry. So I think that's a – and health just in general in football is such a huge deal. It's one of the main reasons the Vikings are here. And if they can go an entire week without losing any players and only get healthier, yeah, it's a massive advantage. I would say probably 50-50 shot to make the Super Bowl, if not a little bit better, if they get the week off.
Yep.
Maybe 20% if they don't. It's just so much longer of a road.
Let's say they lose. Who do they want to avoid next weekend?
The most likely team that they're going to play is the team they want to avoid, which is the Los Angeles Rams, I think, are the easy answer here, and it's the right one. The Tampa Bay Bucs are a good team. They're also kind of wild when it comes to Baker turning the ball over, and also their defense is not all that impressive. But you've already seen this team lose to Los Angeles, and they have a quarterback who's won the Super Bowl. They have a coach who knows everything KOC knows because he taught him a lot of stuff when he was out there as the offensive coordinator. You have a defensive line that's dominant, that has good interior players, great pass rush, and you have a team that has some players in their leadership that are experienced, especially Matthew Stafford, but also Cooper Kupp, in going to the Super Bowl and winning it. I mean, that's just a very tough ask. Plus, it would be, you know, playing out there. Yeah, that is a long trip. That is a significant trip, and you're not taking over that stadium when it comes to the playoffs. All of a sudden, all those Rams fans who've been hiding out in L.A. Will spot themselves a very expensive big-ticket opportunity, and they'll go out there. So I think that they're the last team you want to face. It's not that they couldn't beat them, but if you got to go play a physical, difficult Rams team and then go back to Ford Field after that, wow, that's a really hard road to go to the Super Bowl.
Last thing, and again, Matthew Collar's with us. Check out all his great work, purpleinsider.football. Dan Campbell's known for many things, but one of his calling cards is, hey, it's fourth down, and what is it, about 50% of the time, seemingly, he's going for it. It's not that high, but he goes for it a lot. You're a guy who likes aggressive football. You believe the analytics favorite. How often, when you're watching the Lions and when you're studying the Lions, do you believe Campbell is making the right decisions on the pursuit of a high number of fourth down attempts?
Yeah, they are 20 for 29 this year.
That's
on those
crazy.
Fourth down.
That's
attempts.
Amazing.
I mean, it's, well, a major part of it is that third down, they have the shortest yards to go on average on third down.
Yep.
So if you get to third and six or less, get 3-4 yards, you got a lot of opportunities to go for it. I think that Dan Campbell is right way, way, way more than he is wrong when it comes to going for it. And part of the reason is because even if they fail, he knows the next drive, that offense has got a great chance to score. And I mean, at some point, you know, if they make a mistake on one, everyone's going to say, oh, Dan Campbell, he did the wrong thing, because that's how it works in football. They are the number one scoring team in the entire NFL, and a pretty big reason is the aggressiveness that they deploy and the personnel they have are so hard to stop on four straight downs. But it's a major factor, and the players talked about it this week out here, that you really got to be ready on third down. Don't be celebrating too much, because you're going to have to run right back to the line of scrimmage. So they are ready as soon as they cross the 50-yard line that they're going to have to defend four downs. But here's the other key stat. The Minnesota Vikings, number one in the NFL this year at stopping opposing teams on fourth down. Probably the first time I've ever said about a football game that fourth down is a major factor.
Yes.
Probably also I would add trick plays to that. Trick plays could be a factor as well. But that it only adds to the juice of this football game, which is through the roof all week.
It's going to be great. All right, man. Enjoy it. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy New Year to you as well, and thank you very much. We'll talk to you then.
That's it. No more Happy New Years. We'll probably bring the debate up with Major. He's next on CCO.